السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوا لعلكم ترحمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: القرآن أحب إلى الله من السماوات والأرض، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وذرياته. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی تھرو ہز گریس مرسی اینڈ کائنڈنس گرانٹیڈ آل آف اس دس آنر of participating in this very auspicious gathering, wherein a good number of students have completed the glorious Quran, and their hearts have become the treasures of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our attachment with deen and things associated to deen is very limited, we are unable to understand the value of such gatherings. We are unable to understand the value of these young boys of the ummah who have put the whole Quran to memory. We are unable to realize the important role that the madaris and the makatib are playing and have been playing throughout Islamic history in preserving the Quran and safeguarding the deen in its pristine purity. If we were connected to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true sense, we would have all been overwhelmed today. And we would be overwhelmed in every gathering where students complete the memorization of the glorious Quran. Because it is such a great achievement. We will only realize the value of this achievement when we will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One way of looking at this achievement is a student memorizes more than 6,000 verses of the glorious Quran. It is an achievement. Alhamdulillah. And this achievement even non-Muslims will be able to understand. It's not possible to memorize 6,000 sentences of a book for an average human. So Muslims, non-Muslims, both will be able to acknowledge this achievement, that mashallah, he has memorized the whole Quran. I am not talking about this achievement. It is a great achievement. I am talking about the other achievement, the spiritual achievement. After putting the whole Quran to memory, the status that this individual Hafiz holds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are unable to realize. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala it is reported that he said, I was blessed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my dream in 99 times. Great muhaddis, great faqih, a very pious personality. He and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, both of them were blessed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in their dreams. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, after seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dream 99 times, he said to himself that if I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, then I will ask him that which is the most rewarding act in your eyes. So he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100th time. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, which is the most rewarding act in your eyes? Which is the most beloved act in your eyes? Which amal is the most beloved to you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said recitation of the glorious Quran. Recitation of the glorious Quran. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a poet writes a poetry and he is sitting in this gathering and his poetry is being recited from here, how happy he will become. If a person writes a book, an article, and that article or that book is being recited to the gathering and he is sitting in that gathering, how happy he will feel. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who recite this kalam are very fortunate. Those people who memorize this kalam are very fortunate. Those people who understand this kalam are very fortunate. Those people who make other people understand this kalam are very fortunate. Those people who practice the commands and instructions in this kalam are very fortunate. And those people who encourage others to practice upon the commands found in this kalam are also very fortunate. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to me that the most rewarding deed, the most beloved deed in my eyes is the recitation of the Quran. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi said, I asked, O Allah, recitation of the Quran is the most beloved deed in your eyes. Is it for that person who reads it whilst understanding, or it is also for that person who reads it without understanding? Because during the era of Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, Islam had spread far and wide, and he knew that there were so many people who were reciting the Quran without understanding the message. And then there were the non-ulama Arab reciters. So they were Arabs, they could understand the Arabic language, but they were non-ulama. And when non-ulama recite the glorious Quran, they will not understand each and every verse of the Quran, because it is a very high caliber of academic piece. So a person needs to become an alim in order to understand the glorious Quran. A person cannot just understand the Quran by learning the Arabic language, or a person cannot understand the Quran by reading the English translation of the Quran or the Urdu translation of the Quran or translation in any other language. It's like a book in medicine. If a lawyer or professor in English literature, for that matter, a professor in English literature, he will be able to read the book on medicine and he will be able to understand each and every word. But he will not be able to treat a patient by reading that book. First, he will have to study medicine in order to understand that book. Same with law, same with architecture, same with engineering. So in order for one to understand the message of the glorious Quran in its true sense, a person will have to dedicate his life, take enrollment in a madrasa and learn for 6 years, 8 years, then he will be able to understand the glorious Quran. And even then, he will be able to understand the glorious Quran by means of other tafasir, by referring to other books of tafasir. So when the ulama, they teach in the madaris, or when they impart durus of the Quran in masajid, they themselves are not mufassirun. No, all they do is they have the know-how of studying from the books of tafasir and thereafter explaining to the masses that have come to understand the glorious Quran. In order for one to understand the Quran directly himself, each and every verse of the Quran directly himself, becoming an alim will not be sufficient. He will have to master 15 to 18 sciences. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullahu ta'ala is a mufassir. Allama Alusi rahimahullahu ta'ala is a mufassir. Allama Tabari rahimahullahu ta'ala is a mufassir. Allama Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala is a mufassir. Allama Jalaluddin Mahalli rahimahullahu ta'ala is a mufassir. All these great mufassir who have passed during the centuries, they were not ulama only. They became ulama and thereafter mastered the 15 to 18 sciences that are necessary to directly understand the Quran. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, his level of ilm was so high that Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri rahimahullahu ta'ala, regarding whom the ulama are unanimous that he was a walking library. He was a mobile library. Mobile library, walking library. That means all the books were in his heart and mind. If anybody asked him a question, then he would read page after page, any book. And he would be able to quote something with the name of the book, with the page of the book, and with the line of the page. And he himself used to say that if I read a book without the intention of memorizing the passage, if I read something with the intention of memorizing the passage, then I will never forget that passage. And he did not used to memorize it, he used to read. Not memorize like we do Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim. Or like we memorize Nahu, Al-Kalimatu, Al-Kalimatu, Wudhiya, 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 Limanan Mufradin, Limanan Mufradin, no. If he wanted to memorize something, he would just read it with the intention of memorizing. So he used to say that if I read something with the intention of memorizing it, I will never forget it. And if I read something without the intention of memorizing, then I will not forget that passage for a number of years. Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, ibn Daqiqul Eid rahimahullahu ta'ala, these great personalities, Allama Zahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, great personalities with photographic memory and very high status in academics. The people of the time of Allama Anwar Shah Sahib Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi used to compare him with these great personalities, that he is the Hafiz Ibn Hajar of the time, he is the Zahabi of the time. So such a great scholar says regarding Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala that if I look up and try to view the ilmi and the academic status of Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, then I will have to look so high that my topi will fall off my head. So Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says that sometimes I sit to understand a verse from the glorious Quran, and I am unable to satisfy myself that yes, I have fully understood. Sometimes we understand certain things, but it remains little bit vague, or it doesn't remain vague, but you don't feel satisfied. You feel that no, I still need more, something that will satisfy me, maybe an example, maybe a diagram, something that will satisfy me that yes, I have understood this perfectly, 100%. So Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says that while studying the glorious Quran, I would come across a verse from the glorious Quran, and I would not be able to find satisfaction that yes, I have fully understood the meaning of this verse. And in order to satisfy myself, رُبَّمَا تَعْلَاتُ عَلَى الْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ مِئَةَ تَفْسِيرَةٍ. There are certain occasions in my life where I had to study 100 tafaseer in order to understand one verse from the glorious Quran. It's not so simple, my friends. Study circles of the Quran. How many ulama? Zero. Study circle of the Quran. How many ulama? Zero. How many people who understand Arabic? Zero. How many people who understand the science of Hadith? Zero. How many people who understand the difference between Sahih and Daif Hadith? Zero. How many people who understand the difference between a Hadith book Jame and a Hadith book Musnad? Zero. How many people who can define what fiqh is? Zero. What are their credentials? Secular education. Doctor, professor. Study circle. And each person will read a verse or a few verses from the glorious Quran and then give the interpretation of the Quran. This is tafsir bir ra'i. Tafsir as a result of your own opinion. It is not tafsir, it is your opinion. Now it is possible that if you are lucky, your opinion may coincide with the correct tafsir, and there is also a possibility that it may not coincide and you may misunderstand the glorious Quran. And as I said earlier, even the ulama, without referring to the books of the tafsir, do not try to understand the Quran direct from the Quran. The responsibility of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to convey the words of the Quran only. The responsibility of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to convey two things: the words of the Quran and also the tafsir of the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have revealed this dhikr to you. We have revealed this Quran to you. Why? لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. So that you may explain to them, you may give the tafsir to them of that Quran which is being revealed to them. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. It is our responsibility. Allah says, it is my responsibility to make sure that the Quran enters your heart. The words of the Quran are preserved in your heart. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to you with the words of the Quran, do not worry too much. Do not become anxious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to become anxious. He used to feel worried. What if I forget something? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this responsibility to convey each and every word to the ummah. Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa illam taf'al fama ballagta risalata. What if I forget something? What if Jibreel recites Suratul Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, and I listen to the whole Suratul Fatiha, and I forget Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And I convey, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah will question me on the day of Qiyamah. So when Jibreel used to come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to find himself in great difficulty. Why? Because he would try to do a few things at the same time. He is listening to Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, and at the same time he is trying to memorize. So Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam sometimes used to come with just one word. A verse of the glorious Quran has already been revealed, and Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam comes with a slight change from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the need of the time. Sometimes he would come with one verse only, sometimes a few verses, sometimes a few ruku, sometimes a whole surah. And he would come and he would recite. He would not make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam memorize like the ustad of the heaves does. No. He would just recite. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would try to memorize it whilst Jibreel is reciting. So he is doing two things at the same time. He hasn't got anything written in front of him. So he is listening to Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he is trying to memorize those verses that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam has already recited. So if Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam has recited Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then his lips and his tongue is moving. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So his mind is towards memorizing this verse. And Jibreel continues to recite. So his mind is towards making sure that he doesn't miss out anything. So he's listening to Jibreel also. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So now he begins Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And he is listening to Jibreel recite Maliki Yawmiddin. Now one can imagine the predicament that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had lot of love for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam with these verses. La tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bihi. Do not move your tongue, do not move your lips in order to memorize what you are hearing from Jibreel quickly, so that if you memorize it quickly, you can go on to the next verse and then the following verse and then the... Don't worry. Why? Because it is not your responsibility to memorize. It is my responsibility to make sure that the Quran is preserved in your blessed heart until you breathe your last. Inna alina jam'ahu. To gather together the words of the Quran that are being revealed in your heart, it is our responsibility, Allah says. And our responsibility does not end there. Wa Qur'anahu. And it is our responsibility to make sure that you recite the Quran with the correct pronunciation just as Jibreel had recited to you. Our responsibility is to make sure that the Quran is preserved in your heart, and thereafter it is also our responsibility to make sure that you recite it correctly. Inna alina jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Now if this is our responsibility, then you should not worry. Whenever Jibreel comes, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, and when Jibreel recites on our behalf as our messenger, when he recites to you, all you have to do is فَتَّبِ قُرْآنَ, follow his recitation. That means silently just listen to the recitation. That is all you have to do. You silently listen to the recitation. We will preserve the recitation in your heart. and we will make you recite it. And not only that, summa inna alayna bayana. Then it is our responsibility to give you the ability to give tafsir of each verse also. From these verses, it is not difficult to understand that not only were the words of the Quran revealed, but also the tafsir of the Quran. And just as the words of the Quran have been passed down through centuries, the tafsir of the Quran has also been passed down through centuries. The Sahabay Quran Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmeen, their language was Arabic. They were not non-Arabs. Their language was Arabic. And their language was classical Arabic. Their language is classical Arabic. Their language was the language of the Quran and the language of the Ahadith. In our age, there are two types of languages, the classical Arabic and the spoken Arabic. During those times, there was only one Arabic, the classical Arabic. And the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain understood each and every word that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting to them. But understanding the tafsir of the Quran is not possible by understanding the words only. It is for this reason we find in ahadith that the Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, after listening to the verses of the Quran, would ask questions to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For example, when Surah Zilzal was revealed, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the whole surah, the Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain asked, Ya Rasulallah, مَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. What is the tafsir of يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا? Now ask any student of a madrasa who is studying in his third year, what is the meaning of yawma'idhin? What is the meaning of tuhaddis? Even a second year student will tell you the meanings. So if a second year student of a darulum understands the meaning of these words clearly, without any vagueness, did not the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain understand the meaning of these words, whose mother tongue was Arabic and who were able to speak and understand classical Arabic, rather they only spoke and understood classical Arabic? Definitely. But despite that, they said, Ma yawma idhin tuhaddisu akhbaraha. What is the tafsir of yawma idhin tuhaddisu akhbaraha? And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained the tafsir. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was once approached by a person during the era of his khilafah. And he was asked regarding the tafsir of a verse from the Quran. What is the tafsir of this verse? And Siddiq Akbar radiyallahu anhu was fully aware of the meaning of each and every word of that verse. But he could not recollect what he had heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was asked, he could not recollect what he had heard from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not use his intellect to understand. What did he say? He said, Ayyu sama'in tudhilluni wa ayyu ardin tuqilluni idha ana kuntu fi kitabillahi ma la a'lam. He said, I am sorry, I cannot give interpretation to this verse because I cannot recollect what I had learned from my master. I cannot recollect. And I am afraid that if I cannot recollect what my master told me, then I will tell you what I am unaware of. And if I say to you, in regard to the Quran, what I am unaware of, then the heaven will not be able to save me, or this earth will not be able to save me from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my friends, those of us who do not want to sit in front of somebody and try to understand the Quran from them, we want to understand Quran directly. Let us take out only 6 years of our lives and take admission in a madrasa. 6 years only. Dedicate 6 years to become an alim. And once you become an alim, you will have the ability to benefit from the books of tafasir. And through the aid of the books of tafasir, we will be able to understand the glorious Quran without going to anybody else. Inshallah. And if we want to understand the Quran without even referring to the books of ahadith, then let us become an alim. And thereafter, let us master only 15 sciences. And once we have mastered these 15 sciences, we will be able to compile and author our own tafsir, inshallah, which will be acceptable amongst the ulama also. Do not fall for this. Yes, there are certain verses of the glorious Quran which are very easy to understand. For example, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, indeed those people who accept Iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do good deeds, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, they are the people of Jannah, whom فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will remain in it forever and ever. Easy to understand. Easy to understand. So easy to understand verses can be understood by even a layman, even through translation. But the ulama will understand more messages through this easy to understand verse than us. From the easy to understand verse, we will be able to understand 1 point. The ulama will be able to understand 5 points through the aid of the tafasir. And if he has mastered 15 sciences and he is a mufassir, he will be able to understand 15 things. We must understand the Quran. But through the correct channel, either we become a mufassir, or we become an alim, or we sit in the company of those who have dedicated their lives towards understanding the Quran. And by sitting in their durus, we try to understand the message of the Quran. Easy verses can be understood by anybody, but not as well as the ulama. I always give an example of an ocean. One is the water of the ocean, and the other is the pearl that lies at the bed of the ocean. So there are pearls that lie at the bed of the ocean, and there is the water that everybody is able to see. As far as the water is concerned, every Zaid, Amr, Bakr will be able to benefit from the water without anybody else's aid. All you need to do is go at the seashore and wash your feet, dip your hands and wash your face, take a bucket full of water and take it home. You will benefit, other people will benefit. But if a person desires a pearl from the bed of the ocean, you will have to be an expert diver. If you are not an expert diver, and you go to the shore of the ocean, and you jump into the ocean, and you try to take out that precious pearl which is lying on the bed of the ocean, you will put yourself in danger. You may lose your life. Similarly, those people who try to take out pearls from the bed of the ocean of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their iman is in danger. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had warned his ummah not to try to understand the Quran without having the authority to do so. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, man qala fil Qur'an bi ra'yihi, one who studies the Qur'an and forms his own opinion regarding a verse of the Qur'an, without referring to the authentic sources, without remaining within the boundaries set by deen. A person ponders over the verse of the Qur'an by looking at the translation or just reading the verse because he knows Arabic and he forms his own opinion. And it so happened that it coincided with the correct tafsir. It coincided with the correct tafsir. Despite that, what does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man qala fil Qur'an bi ra'yihi, one who forms his own opinion in regard to a verse of the Qur'an or a passage of the Qur'an, and he mentions this tafsir to somebody, fa'asaba, and it coincided with the correct tafsir. Despite that, faqad akhta, he has made an error. He will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because the tafsir was wrong? No. Because he did something which he was not supposed to do. If a person who is not a qualified doctor, if he opens a surgery and if he writes a prescription and it coincided that it was a correct prescription, despite that, he will have to stand in the court and he will be punished. He will not be able to say, but my prescription was right. I diagnosed the illness correctly and I wrote a correct prescription. He will be said, no, you don't have the authority to do what you did. You were lucky. You were lucky that you wrote the correct prescription, but there was another possibility also. So my friends, we need to understand the Quran. We need to read the Quran, we need to memorize the Quran, and we need to understand the Quran, because Quran was revealed so that we are able to practice what the Quran says, and we will only be able to practice what the Quran says if we understand the Quran. So only reading is not sufficient, and only understanding is not sufficient. We need to read, understand, and practice. And part of practicing is propagate. This is the whole package. Read, after reading, understand. After understanding, practice. This is the whole package. But that does not mean that a single component on its own without the whole package is useless. This is the whole package. But it doesn't mean that if a person recites the Quran without understanding it, we will conclude that it is useless. No. There are benefits for reciting the Quran without understanding. And there are more benefits for reciting the Quran with understanding. And there are more benefits for reciting the Quran with understanding and then practicing. And there are more benefits of the Quran for reciting with understanding, with practice, and with propagation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has simply said, man qara harfam min kitabillah, one who recites one verse from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, falahu bihi hasanatun, for him is one good deed. For him, one good deed is written down. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِيَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا, and in the code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one deed is automatically multiplied by 10. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ حَرْفٌ, I am not saying أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ is one letter. أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ is one letter. I am not saying that. وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. Alif is a separate letter, Lam is a separate letter, and Mim is a separate letter. And the preferred opinion in regard to this Alif, Lam, Mim is that it is the Alif Lam Mim of Suratul Feel, not Suratul Baqarah. Alam Tara, Alif Lam Mim, Alam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is talking about the Alif Lam Mim in Suratul Feel, not Suratul Baqarah. So when a person recites Suratul Feel and he says Alam, Alam, Allah will grant him 30 rewards. And if he was to recite the Alif Lam Mim of Suratul Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, he will use three letters to utter these three letters. Alif, Alif, Lam, and Fa. Alif, Lam, Lam, Alif, and Mim. Mim, Mim, Ya, and Mim. So when a person reads Alif, Lam, Mim at the beginning of Suratul Baqarah or Suratul Ali Imran or other surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 90 deeds, 90 rewards. Now in this hadith also, we find that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, one who recites a harf of the Quran via understanding. Because you cannot understand one harf, one letter. It's not possible. So 10 rewards are granted to that person who recites only. So imagine the extent of the reward that these huffaz have acquired. Allahu Akbar. They studied long, long time ago when they initiated their amma. Amma yatasa'aluna anil surah, from Suratul Fatiha. It goes the other way around to make it easy for the students in the maktab. The number of times they must have recited amma in order to learn it, because they were beginners, and thereafter hafti, the five juz, and thereafter nazira Quran, and thereafter hifz. On each letter Allah has granted them 10 rewards. So my dear students of the hifz class, anywhere throughout the world, if you are listening to me, wherever you are, do not undervalue yourself. Do not feel it a burden that you are in hifz class. Do not feel it a burden that whilst your siblings are enjoying their games or whatever they are doing on a Saturday, on a Sunday, you are preparing for the next day. You have to take out extra 1 hour, 2 hours to learn hifz. You have to wake up early in the morning. This burden will seem nothing on the day of Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for what you had done. And you should feel honored. The huffaz should feel honored. Why? Because it is Allah who is safeguarding His kalam. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. It is we who will safeguard this Quran until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is safeguarding the Quran and utilizing the huffaz. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing the huffaz to be part of that team with Him who will preserve the Quran until the day of Qiyamah. This honor is not granted to engineers or professors or prime ministers or presidents or kings or ministers. No, this honor is for those who are in the hifz class. They are the true civil servants. Feel happy, feel proud of yourself. Not arrogant, but feel proud of yourself. and be grateful to Allah with humbleness that, oh Allah, it is you who have chosen me for this great task. Oh Allah, make it easy for me. Make it easy for me and keep me a member of this team until I am resurrected on the day of Qiyamah and I am told Iqra wa rattaqi. For everything there is sacrifice, but sometimes a sacrifice does not yield so much fruit, and sometimes a sacrifice yields so much fruit. This sacrifice will yield so much fruit on the day of Qiyamah. You will be honored as a result of your efforts. Your parents will be honored. Your teachers will be honored. And each Hafiz will be granted the honor of interceding for at least 10 people from his family who are so sinful that Jahannam will be incumbent upon them. If this Hafiz will not intercede, Jahannam is incumbent upon them. Man qara al-Quran, one who reads the Quran, fastazharahu, he memorizes the Quran, fa halla halalahu wa harrama haramahu, and he follows what is halal, he abstains what is haram, adkhalahu Allahu al-Jannah, Allah will grant him entry into Jannah, wa shaffa'ahu fi asharatin min ahli baytihi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the honor of interceding for 10 people from his family. Kulluhum qad wajabat lahumun nar. All 10 upon whom Jahannam has become wajib. Never feel burdened. And there are so many young children also in this gathering, young men also in this gathering. Talabul ilm, acquiring ilm, and the fountain of ilm is the Quran. Fountain of ilm is the Quran, and through this fountain comes the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the tafsir of the Quran, and then so many other ulum, qiraat, tajweed, tafsir, fiqh, hadith. Whatever we learn in the maktab, that is all derived from the Quran and ahadith. All from the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never feel burdened. This ilm, you are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you return home. This virtue is not only for those students who go to a darul ulum. No, it is for every person who leaves his home to acquire ilm. Our ulama impart durus in Jami Masjid Zakaria on a weekly basis. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Limbada Sahib, Muddazilluhumul Ali, and other ulama also must be imparting. And then there are other masajid where the durus are imparted. So when a musalli leaves his home on that day with the intention of performing salat and with the intention of sitting in the dars to acquire ilm in any masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for two things on every step. One is for going to perform salah, and the other is for acquiring ilm. And you are also deserving of this virtue. One who leaves his home, man kharaja fi talabil ilm, he is in the path of Allah until he returns. فَهُوَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَرْجِيَ. So those students who go to the maktab, those students who go to the madaris, those musallis who go and sit in the company of the ulama to learn ilm in the durus, don't feel burdened. Feel happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting you this honor. Great honor. So I was speaking about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala. What he asked, oh Allah, you said that the most beloved amal to you is Quran. Which amal brings a person very close to you? You said Quran. Recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran can be done in two ways. One is whilst understanding the Quran. The other is without understanding the Quran. None alim will not be able to understand the Quran. So which one is it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said both. Both are deeds which are very much beloved to me, which are very much virtuous and which brings a person very close to me. Recitation of the Quran whilst understanding and recitation of the Quran without understanding. So my friends, and especially the Huffaz, any component, any part of this component will bring reward. Any part, just recitation, you just recite the Quran. You don't understand, you don't practice. Allah will grant you reward. You recite the Quran, you understand the Quran, you don't practice the Quran, Allah will give you reward. But it will not be sufficient to acquire salvation in the hereafter. In order to acquire salvation, one has to read the Quran, understand the Quran, and practice the Quran. And part of practicing the Quran and the Sharia and the Ahadith is that once you have memorized the Quran, now you have to keep it in your heart until you breathe your last. If as a result of your neglect you forget the Quran, you will be sinful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask all the Huffaz who are listening to me at this moment, who will listen to me later on, I ask all the Huffaz, did we memorize the Quran so that as a result of memorize the Quran we can be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and interrogate it? Is this why we have memorized the Quran? That I want to memorize the Quran and then forget the Quran so that I am made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am interrogated. Is this why we have memorized the Quran? No, we have memorized the Quran so that we remember the Quran until we breathe our last, and on the day of Qiyamah we are not interrogated, we are honored. We are honored. This is why we have memorized the Quran. So make sure that each and every letter of the Quran remains embedded in your hearts and become a Sahibul Quran, Hamilul Quran. And we find these words, Sahibul Quran, the companion of the Quran. Companion of the Quran. The highest level of companion is who will stay with you all 24 hours. But that is not possible for two humans to stay 24 hours together. So the highest level of companion is that if I meet Maulana Rafiq Sahib on a daily basis, Maulana Sajid Sahib on a daily basis, I go to his house, he comes to my house. We meet every day or at least once a week. Then people will say they are companions. Sahib. If we go for Hajj together, I will say, he is my companion of Hajj. We don't say, he is my companion. He is my companion of Hajj. Because he was with me in Hajj. We don't sit together on a daily basis. He lives in Bolton, I live in Leicester. We are not companions on a daily basis. We are companion of Hajj. Ye hamare Hajj ke saathi hai. Ye hamare padhne ke zamane ke saathi hai. You only remain a sahib if you remain together. So the fazila and virtue is for Sahibul Quran. And you can only remain a Sahibul Quran if you don't forget the Quran. The virtue is for Hamilul Quran, the carrier of the Quran. So you only deserve the virtues if you are carrying the Quran until you breathe your last. Ahlul Quran, the plural of Sahibul Quran and Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. You will only be called the people of the Quran. A wealthy person, if he has wealth, if he doesn't have wealth, he cannot be called a wealthy person. Sahibul Mal. You will not call a poor person who doesn't have money Sahibul Mal. You will call a person with wealth Sahibul Mal. You will not call a group of people who do not have wealth Ahlul Mal. So make sure this Quran remains with you. And remains with you from all aspects. Number one, the words remain with you. Number two, go a step further and become ulama. There is nothing better than becoming ulama. There is nothing better than becoming ulama. You have become huffaz of the Quran. Now to elevate yourself more, try to understand what you have memorized. So enlighten your hearts with the words of the Quran. Now you need to go a step further and enlighten your hearts with the ulum and ma'arif of the Quran. And thereafter, you take another step. And you adorn your life with the ulum and the ma'arif of the Quran. So you are the companion of the words, you are the companion of the tafsir of the Quran, and you are the companion by 24 hours living your lives according to the Quran. Now Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah, Iqra wartaqi, yuqalu li sahibil Quran. Nowhere you will find in the ahadith that yuqalu li hafizil Quran. It will be said to the memorizer of the Quran. No. Yuqalu li sahibil Quran. It will be said to the companion of the Quran. So you are the companion of the Quran at this moment. Remain a companion of the Quran. And companion of the Quran of a very high degree. I am a companion as far as the words are concerned. I am the companion as far as the tafsir is concerned. I am the companion as far as the practice is concerned. And I am also companion as far as propagating the talim of the Quran is concerned. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was all sahibul Quran from all aspects. So when he passed away, somebody saw him in a dream. And he asked, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? So he said, when I was made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that I have prepared a very beautiful suit for my Ahmad. Go bring that suit. Suit made of gold. This is the honor Allah granted me. So I was made to put on the beautiful suit in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels that bring the golden shoes that I have prepared for my Ahmad. So I was made to put on those shoes. I very humbly said, oh Allah, you have over rewarded me. You have over honored me. As a result of which amal? He said, the khidmat of the Quran. Khidmat of the Quran. These ulama, these huffaz, those who teach in the makatib, those who teach in the madaris, those who serve the ilm that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachers and why? Because we have disconnected ourselves from the deen, and we are more connected to the material items. So as far as we are concerned, this Maulana has now, what does he have? He doesn't even own his own home. Look at the car of this Maulana. It's worth only £3,000. We look at the status of the people according to their wealthy status. If only we were able to view people and observe people according to their dini status, then we would have known who these ulama and the huffaz are. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will view each and every person according to not his wealthy status, according to his dini status. And then these ulama, these huffaz who are looked down upon by everybody today will reap the fruits. Reap the fruits. So as far as the ulama are concerned, as far as the huffaz are concerned, do not become victims of inferiority complex. And make khidmat of deen your full-time occupation. If you have to live a worldly life of a lower degree, no problem. No problem. We, in this day and age, we don't have to give the sacrifice that our pious predecessors had to give. Allah doesn't take much, you know, even the ulama and huffaz who are at a very low level of wages, live very comfortably also. Allah grants them sukoon. Happiness. Razina kismat al jabbare fina lana ilmun walil juhale malu. Fa innal mala yafna an karibin wa innal ilma baqin la yazalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's distribution. Allah will grant me something and grant you something else. Allah will grant you something, will deprive me of that ni'mat. And Allah will grant me something, will deprive you of that ni'mat. So two things are very, very valuable as people see it. One, on one side is ilm, on the other side is wealth. In this day and age, only wealth is important. Ilm is not important. In my childhood, I was doing very well in my dini education, and I was doing very well in my secular education. And I'm talking about 1970s. I came into this country in 1973. There were no Muslim graduates in this country at that time. So a lot of people used to tell my father that Salim is very clever. He is doing very well in the secular education, and we, the Muslim community, need professional people, good educated people. So dedicate him for this work. But my father had the understanding of deen. So my father used to say that I have fixed him for my akhirat. Allah has given me an intelligent son, a clever son. Why should I waste his talents on dunya? I will utilize his talents in deen. And he used to encourage me, and he used to motivate me. And he used to always tell me that, son, acquire ilm, practice ilm, propagate ilm. This should be your 24-hour occupation. He would sit me down in front of me, and tears used to roll down his cheeks. And I was in my third, fourth year at Darul Uloom Bari. Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Sahib was teaching me Sharhul Wiqaya in those days. And tears would roll down his cheeks, and he would say, my son, he would speak to me in Gujarati, my son, you know why I am teaching you. You know why I am teaching you. I am teaching you so you can help me in the hereafter. And that you will only be able to do if you work hard, if you acquire ilm, and thereafter you practice, and thereafter you propagate. And this should be your full-time occupation, not part-time. And then he used to say that you make a promise to me that you will fulfill my desire. So in those days, the days I am talking about, 80s, an alim would not even think of doing something else besides dini khidmat. So I used to say to him that, Abba, you are making me an alim, so that is what I will have to do. That is what I am becoming an alim, so this is what I will become an imam somewhere, I will become a teacher somewhere. He said, no, you make a promise to me. He used to make me say it with my tongue that, Abba, I make a promise to you that my full-time occupation will be khidmat of deen and nothing else. And he used to say to me that, look, my wage is very little, and I know that will be your situation also, because I have been through this. I have been a teacher and imam all my life. My wage is very little, and if I sent you to the university, education was free in those days. I would not have to pay your fees, and in Darul Uloom I have to pay your fees. And if you had become a doctor or lawyer or something, then after graduation you would earn a lot of money, and it would come in my pocket also. And I know that after you graduate from Darul Uloom Bari, your wage will be so meager that I am not expecting anything from you. I know I will have to support you. But despite that, I am making you an alim, because your and my future of the hereafter lies in that. So I am making my worldly loss by paying your fees. Worldly loss, paying your fees. Number two, after you graduate, you will not be able to give me anything. So worldly loss for the profit of the hereafter. If after graduation you do not engage in dini khidmat, then I will make a loss of this world and also the hereafter. Nowadays, parents, I was very fortunate to have a father like my father. The parents need to encourage their children. A And he used to say to me that, my son, your wage will be very little, but remember one thing. If you become a civil servant, if you become the worker for Allah, then whenever you will need anything, you may not have the money to afford it, but Allah will bring it for you. Allah will make arrangement for you. I was not able to fully carry out his wishes of working very hard to acquire ilm and thereafter to practice and thereafter to propagate. But whatever little I was able to do due to his motivation, I have seen that I have never felt that I am in need of anything at any point. So the talaba of madaris, they should make a firm resolution that our full-time occupation will be deen. Full-time occupation will be deen. Full-time occupation will be deen. Leave worldly matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not deprive you. Allah will never deprive you. And as far as the public is concerned, respect ulama. And I am not asking you to respect ulama, respect students, respect the madaris, makatib. I am not asking you to do this for their benefit. I am asking you to do this for your benefit. If you will disrespect the ulama, if you will disrespect the talaba, if you will disrespect the madaris and the makatib, they will not lose out on anything. You will lose out on everything. So I am sympathizing with you, not with the ulama and the talaba. They don't need anybody's honor. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has honored them, they don't need anybody else's honor. Akbar Allahabadi said, Musalla hai hamara takhte shahi, kisi ki kya karegi kam nigahi. If somebody looks down upon us, we don't care. Why? Because this musalla is our throne. Nobody can stand on this musalla except us. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, Radina kismat al jabbare feena. We are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the distribution? Lana ilmun walil juhali malu. He has not given us wealth, but He has given us ilm. And to those whom He has given wealth, He has not given ilm. So Allah has made this distribution. He has chosen two groups. One group of wealthy people, one group of ilmi people. He has given ilm to the shuyukh and He has given wealth to the suyut. Sheikhs on one side and sheikhs on the other side. Suyut and shuyukh. He has given wealth to the suyut and He has given ilm to the shuyukh. He said, I'm very happy. Ali radiallahu anhu says. Why? Lana ilmun walil juhali malu. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ كَرِيبٍ. Because He has given wealth to the wealthy people, this wealth will perish sooner or later. This wealth, either it will leave the wealthy person or the wealthy person will leave the wealth behind. As far as ilm is concerned, وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاكٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Ilm will remain with the person of ilm in this world, during difficulties, when he is in the home, when he is outside, when he is flying in the aeroplane, ilm goes wherever he goes. Wealth doesn't go everywhere. Sometimes even a wealthy person has to beg. I have seen wealthy people in Makkah Mukarramah begging, asking people for loan. Why? Because somebody stole their money. Ilm can never be stolen. Ilm will remain with us wherever we are in this world. Wealth cannot remain with a person wherever he is. And a person, wealthy person, has to worry about looking after ilm. And ilm will look after the person with ilm. Wealth, the more you spend, the less it becomes. And as far as ilm is concerned, the more you spend, the more it increases. That is why the students are told that after your lesson, takrar. So when you sit down to do takrar, what do you do? Whatever you have acquired, you pass it on to your partner, your classmate. When you spend, it increases. That is the hikmah for takrar. It increases when you pass. At the time of death, it will not depart from us. In the grave, it will not depart from us. On the day of Qiyamah, it will remain with us. At the time of reckoning, ilm will remain with us. On the Sirat, it will remain with us. And in Jannah also, it will remain with us forever and ever. A doctor will not be recognized in Jannah, because nobody will become sick. Doctor will not be recognized in Jannah. No value. I am not looking down upon secular education. Secular education is very important also to live in this world. It is the need. But why should the people of ilm feel that other people have something more better than we have? What we have, nobody has. And this is the belief of every doctor. This is the belief of every engineer. They also say that what you have, we don't have. The wealth that you have, we don't have. How pitiful it will be, my friends, how pitiful our state will be, that the professionals, when they look at us, they envy us. They envy us, and they envy us correctly. And how pitiful it will be if, when we look at them, we also feel envious. Because it will be out of place. If they envy us, it is correct. If we envy them, it will not be correct. An alim will be seen as an alim in Jannah also, on the day of Qiyamah also. Allah will honor them in Jannah also. A mufti will be mufti in Jannah. Alim will be alim in Jannah. Hafiz will be hafiz in Jannah. So this is where I would like to conclude. At the very beginning I said that because we do not have the true understanding of deen, we do not have the true understanding of the value of the Quran, value of the ahadith, value of what the ulama are doing in order to make our life better. We don't give the importance that they and their works deserve. Please, respect the ulama. Respect the huffaz. Respect the qurra. Respect even a young child, four, five years old, who is going to the maktab. Give respect to them. We don't respect ulama. We don't respect huffaz. And those of us who do give respect to the ulama, we give only respect to the well-known ulama. Not because of their ilm, because of their fame. So we are respecting the fame, not ilm. If we had respected ilm, we would have respected the famous scholars and the non-famous scholars. Because the non-famous scholars also have ilm. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullahi alayhi says that throughout my life, I cannot remember it, throughout my life, Allahu Akbar, great muhaddis, great alim, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullahu ta'ala, very, very pious personality. Very pious personality. He says that when I was a student studying in madrasa, one Friday is the weekend there. He said, one Friday I went to perform Salatul Fajr in the masjid, and it transpired to me that I want to recite a little bit of Quran. So he said, I started reciting the Quran from Suratul Fatiha. I said, I continued. In one go, I recited 26 juz. Whilst I was a student. And thereafter, Hazrat says that because I had to perform my Jummah Salat in another masjid, I had to leave, otherwise I would have completed the whole Quran there and then. When does Allah give the ability to practice in this manner? When we are respectful. So Hazrat bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi says that I cannot remember stretching out my legs facing a person who is hafiz of the Quran. Before, if I needed to stretch out my leg, I would see if a hafiz is sitting in front of me, I would not stretch my legs, or I would ask him to move away from there, and then only I would stretch my legs. So two messages from me. Number one, inculcate the value of ilm in your hearts, my brothers. Quran, ahadith, fiqh, Madaris, makatib, the durus that takes place in the masajid, the bayans that take place from the minbar. And revere the ulama, revere the huffaz. Benefit from their company. Worry about your ilm and your tazkiyah. This is number one. And number two, read the Quran on a regular basis. Daily read the Quran. And attend durus of the Quran of the ulama and understand the Quran. And number three, whatever you understand, practice and propagate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us to His kalam from all aspects. And may we become from the people of the Quran. And may we be resurrected with the people of the Quran on the day of Qiyamah. And may we find place in Jannah with the people of the Quran. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
My brothers, mashallah, alhamdulillah, everybody has been patient so far. Just another 10-15 minutes before the final dua will take place. I humbly request, brothers, there are many, many spaces. If we can move forward, there's loads of brothers standing outside, as we can see there. Move towards the right. Brothers, if they can make space towards the right. Brothers can make space towards the left, so the brothers outside, they can come in the house of Allah. So right now they are standing in the foyer, they want to come inside the masjid, inside the house of Allah. So please, if we make space for them, Allah Ta'ala will make space for us. Jazakallah. Just before the dua, my brothers, we have got three completions remaining. The three completions are those through the barakat, you can say, and the tawajjuh and the guidance of our Honorable Shaykh Hafizullah and staying in his company, that the amount of emphasis on the glorious Quran and the encouragement. So three students we have today, with only the fazl of Allah and the du'as and the tawajjuhat of our pious, they have recited the entire Quran in one sitting. Now these three students, how it works in the Darul Uloom, they put themselves forward that we want to recite the whole Quran. We, amongst our asatiza and those others, ustads, teachers, who want to volunteer, we have a set schedule that 8 o'clock in the morning, and one ustad might be listening from 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Somebody else will listen from 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock, and it goes on all the way till the evening. So we have a schedule for the student. He will be in the room. He's not allowed to open the Quran the entire time. He can go for his istinja, relieve himself. So they started at 8 o'clock in the morning. On last Sunday we had two students. Before that we had one student. They started at 8 and approximately they finished around 8:35 in the evening. So student number one, I request him to come forward and recite, finish his Quran, is Hafiz Yusuf bin Maulana Imjaz Umarji. Maulana Imjaz Sahib is a ustad in our evening madrasa. He's also one of the students of our Honorable Shaykh Hafizullah over here as well. So he recited the whole Quran and he got two mistakes. From Surah Fatiha all the way till Qul A'udhu Rabbi Falak.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس صدق الله العظيم.
Second student is our honorable Sheikh's teacher over here, Maulana Abdullah Wahalu, Daman Barakatuhum, his grandson. He studies in our Darul Uloom and he's in the second year in Arbi Dome. He recited the glorious Quran in one sitting last Sunday just now. And from Surah Fatiha, he reached Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, and with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he got zero mistakes. So I call upon Hafiz Adam bin Saeed Valley.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس صدق الله العظيم.
The third student, Alhamdulillah, again he recited the whole Quran in one sitting. And he got 8 mistakes. Suleiman bin Ismail Pando.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
Dua will be taking place, as brothers are aware, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned on the completion of the glorious Quran, duas are readily accepted.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مسرف القلوب سرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاكك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء اللهم اجعلنا في اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك اللهم من شرورهم اللهم اصرف عنا كيدهم وشرهم ومكرهم بما شئت وكيف شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت وكيف شئت اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جنات النعيم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین ہمارے حال پہ رحم فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین ہمارے حال پہ رحم فرما، یا رحم الراحمین ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے، ہمارے اہل و عیال کے، ہمارے ماں باپ کے، ہمارے رشتہ داروں کے، ہمارے متعلقین کے، ہمارے محبین محسنین کے، الہ العالمین پوری امت مسلمہ کے چھوٹے بڑے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے، یا رحم الراحمین معاف فرما دے، یا رحم الراحمین معاف فرما دے، اے اللہ ہم تیرے در کے بھکاری ہیں، الہ العالمین ہم تیرے در کے سوالی ہیں، الہ العالمین ہم محتاج ہیں، الہ العالمین ہم محتاج ہیں، الہ العالمین ہم محتاج ہیں، الہ العالمین گنہگار ہیں، سیاہ کار ہیں، الہ العالمین روسیہ ہیں، الہ العالمین گناہوں میں لت پت ہیں، الہ العالمین گناہوں کی دلدل میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں، الہ العالمین گناہوں کے انبار لے کر تیرے دربار میں اس وقت بیٹھے ہیں، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین ہماری التجا کو سن لے، پر ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے، اے اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے، اے اللہ ہمیں معاف فرما دے، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین ختم قرآن کے موقع پر دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہیں، الہ العالمین متعدد قرآن ختم ہوئے ہیں، اے ارحم الراحمین یہاں تیرے بندے بہت ساری امیدیں لے کر آئے ہیں، الہ العالمین دنیاوی اخروی بہت ساری حاجتوں کو لے کر آئے ہیں، الہ العالمین جو گھروں سے بیٹھ کر دور دور بیٹھ کر سن رہے ہیں، الہ العالمین سب نے تیرے دربار میں اس وقت ہاتھ اٹھائے ہیں، اور الہ العالمین انہیں یقین ہے کہ ختم قرآن کے موقع پر تو دعائیں قبول کرتا ہے، اس لیے ان کی مرادیں ضرور پوری ہوں گی، اے ارحم الراحمین ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما، ہم میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما، ان اٹھے ہوئے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما، الہ العالمین ان اٹھے ہوئے ہاتھوں کو قبول فرما، الہ العالمین محروم نہ فرما، محروم نہ فرما، الہ العالمین نظر کرم فرما دے، نظر کرم فرما دے، الہ العالمین مجمع میں سے ایک ایک شخص پر نظر کرم فرما دے، الہ العالمین شرکا میں سے ایک ایک شخص پر نظر کرم فرما دے، ان کے متعلقین میں سے ایک ایک پر نظر کرم فرما دے، الہ العالمین پوری امت کے ہر ہر فرد پر چاہے وہ زندہ ہو چاہے وہ مرحوم ہو، الہ العالمین نظر کرم فرما دے، اے اللہ نظر کرم فرما دے، الہ العالمین نظر کرم فرما دے، اے اللہ بہت امیدیں لے کر تیرے در پہ اس ختم قرآن کی مجلس کی برکت سے الہ العالمین ہمارے مقدر کو بدل دے، ہمارے مقدر کو بدل دے، امت مسلمہ کے مقدر کو بدل دے، پورے عالم کے مقدر کو بدل دے، الہ العالمین پورے عالم کے مقدر کو بدل دے، اگر تو نے میرا مقدر نہ بدلا بتا پھر یہ کامل نظر کس لیے، اگر تیرے دیوانے یوں لوٹ جائے یہ در کس لیے ہے، یہ گھر کس لیے ہے، الہ العالمین جھولیوں کو بھر دے، جھولیوں کو بھر دے، الہ العالمین جھولیوں کو بھر دے، الہ العالمین جھولیوں کو بھر دے، امت مسلمہ کی بدحالی کو دور فرما دے، الہ العالمین امت مسلمہ کی بدحالی کو دور فرما دے، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین تجھے تیرا نبی بہت محبوب ہے اور تیرے نبی کو الہ العالمین اپنی امت بہت محبوب تھی، الہ العالمین تیرے محبوب نبی کی محبوب امت کے حال پہ رحم فرما دے، بدحالی کو دور فرما دے، شان و شوکت عطا فرما دے، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین اس محبوب دین کو پورے عالم میں عام فرما دے، الہ العالمین ہواؤں کو چلا دے، ہدایت کی ہواؤں کو چلا دے، دنیا کے کونے کونے تک پہنچا دے، الہ العالمین مسلمانوں کو اپنے دین کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما، الہ العالمین دین کو سیکھ کر دین پر چل کر اپنی آخرت بنانے والا بنا دے، الہ العالمین غیر مسلم بھی تیرے بندے ہیں، وہ بھی تیرے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت کا حصہ ہے، الہ العالمین انہیں بھی دین اسلام کی سمجھ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین انہیں بھی دین اسلام کی سمجھ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین ان کے لیے بھی دنیاوی اخروی کامیابیوں اور سرخرویوں کے راستہ ہموار فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما،
رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما. الہ العالمین ہم تجھ سے عہد کرتے ہیں کہ اب کے بعد کوئی گناہ نہیں کریں گے, اگر ہو جائے گا تو فوراً توبہ کر لیں گے. الہ العالمین توبہ پر استقامت عطا فرما, شیطان اور نفس کے مقائد سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین سعادت مندوں میں شامل فرما, علماء میں شامل فرما, مقبولین میں شامل فرما, موحدین میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین مسلمین میں مؤمنین میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین جنتیوں میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین مہتدین میں شامل فرما, ہادین میں شامل فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین مقربین میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین ہمیں اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنا تعلق نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے قلوب کا تزکیہ فرما. الہ العالمین ہماری زبانوں کو تیری یاد سے الہ العالمین تر و تازہ فرما, ہمارے دماغوں کو تیری یاد سے معطر فرما, ہمارے قلوب کو تیری یاد سے منور فرما. ہر آن ہر گھڑی تجھے یاد کرنے والا بنا دے, ہر آن ہر گھڑی تیرا شکر کرنے والا بنا دے, ہر آن ہر گھڑی تیری اطاعت کرنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین گناہوں کی نفرت دلوں میں پیدا فرما دے, گناہوں کی نفرت دلوں میں پیدا فرما دے, گناہوں کی نفرت دلوں میں پیدا فرما دے, طاعات کی, عبادتوں کی, نیکیوں کی رغبت دلوں میں پیدا فرما دے. الہ العالمین ایک ایک سانس تیری مرضی میں گزارنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین روئے روئے کو, بال بال کو تیری یاد میں مشغول فرما دے. الہ العالمین ذکر زبانی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین ذکر لسانی نصیب فرما, ذکر قلبی نصیب فرما, ذکر حالی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما, اپنے محبوبین میں شامل فرما, اپنے مقربین میں شامل فرما, اپنے اولیاء میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین مقام صدیقیت سے سرفراز فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین دین کی صحیح سمجھ عطا فرما, حق اور باطل صحیح غلط کے درمیان تمیز کرنے کی صلاحیت عطا فرما, اس کے بعد صحیح کو اختیار کرنے کی اور غلط کو چھوڑنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہر فتنے سے بچا لے, ہر شر سے بچا لے, ظاہری باطنی تمام فتن سے محفوظ فرما, حسد سے محفوظ فرما, ہمارے قلوب کو اخلاق رذیلہ سے پاک فرما دے, حسد سے پاک فرما دے, کبر سے پاک فرما دے. الہ العالمین ناجائز محبتوں سے پاک فرما دے, بخل سے پاک فرما دے. الہ العالمین کینے سے پاک فرما دے, بغض سے پاک فرما دے, نفاق سے پاک فرما دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے قلوب کو اخلاق حمیدہ سے آراستہ فرما دے. الہ العالمین تواضع سے آراستہ فرما, جود و سخا سے آراستہ فرما, رضا و تسلیم سے آراستہ فرما. الہ العالمین توکل سے آراستہ فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں اپنا بنا لے, اے اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا لے, اے اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا لے, ہمیں اپنی مرضیات پر چلنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما, سوئے خاتمے سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین کلمے والی موت نصیب فرما, تیری رضا والی موت نصیب فرما, سجدے رکوع والی عبادت والی موت نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین حرمین شریفین والی موت نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین بقیع میں جگہ نصیب فرما, بقیع میں جگہ نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین قبولیت والی, سعادت والی موت نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین قبر کے عذاب سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, قیامت کے دن کی ہولناکیوں سے محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین اپنے عرش کے سائے کے نیچے جگہ عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے پیارے آقا صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کے مبارک ہاتھوں حوض کوثر کا پانی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین ان کی شفاعت سے سرفراز فرما. الہ العالمین ان کی توجہ نصیب فرما, توجہات برزخیہ بھی عطا فرما, اور الہ العالمین قیامت کے دن میں ان کی توجہات سے سرفراز فرما. الہ العالمین بغیر حساب کے جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ فرما, جہنم سے ہمیں پتا عطا فرما, جہنم سے پناہ عطا فرما, جہنم سے پناہ عطا فرما. الہ العالمین تیری رضا کے لیے جو کچھ کرنا ہے اسے کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, اس کے لیے جو جو اسباب اختیار کرنے ہیں ان سب کی سمجھ عطا فرما, وہ سب وسائل ہمارے لیے مہیا فرما. الہ العالمین آج کے اس ختم قرآن کے جلسے کو بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین بے انتہا قبول فرما, بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین ختم کرنے والے, قرآن مجید ختم کرنے والے طلبہ کو بھی بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین اکیڈمی کو بھی بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین اساتذہ کو بھی بے انتہا قبول فرما, ماں باپ کو بھی, خاندانوں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما. ان کے بھی زندگی سے جن جن لوگوں کی محنتیں لگی ہیں ان سب کو بھی قبول فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. انہیں موت تک الہ العالمین موت تک قرآن مجید کے ایک ایک لفظ کی حفاظت کرنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین. انہیں جید حفاظ میں شامل فرما الہ العالمین. انہیں کثرت سے تلاوت کرنے والوں میں شامل فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. ان کے سینوں کو علوم و معارف سے منور فرما الہ العالمین. ان کی زندگیوں کو قرآنی تعلیمات سے آراستہ فرما الہ العالمین. انہیں اہل القرآن میں شامل فرما خدام قرآن میں شامل فرما الہ العالمین. امت کی قیادت کے لیے انہیں قبول فرما دے الہ العالمین. ہم سب کے لیے ان کو صدقہ جاریہ بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. اس جلسے کو پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا دے الہ العالمین. قرآن مجید کے انوار کے پورے عالم میں عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین. ہم کمزور ہیں الہ العالمین, ہماری کوششیں بھی کمزور ہیں الہ العالمین, تیری مرضی کے مطابق نہیں ہوتی الہ العالمین, ہماری نیتیں بھی درست نہیں ہوتی الہ العالمین, ہماری عبادتیں اخلاص سے عاری ہوتی ہیں اے ارحم الراحمین, ہماری محنتیں کوششیں بھی ریا سے بھرپور ہوتی ہیں اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. تیرے دربار میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں ہمارے پاس تیری بارگاہ میں پیش کرنے کے لیے سوائے ندامت کے کوئی پونجی نہیں ہے, بلکہ الہ العالمین ندامت کو بھی ہم دیکھتے ہیں تو وہ بھی جھوٹی ندامت ہے اے رب الرحیم. کچھ نہیں ہے ہمارے پاس اے اللہ, بس معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے, تیرے فضل سے معاف فرما دے, تیرے فضل سے اپنے اولیاء میں شامل فرما دے, تیرے فضل سے الہ العالمین تیرے فضل سے حسن خاتمہ کا دائمی فیصلہ فرما دے, جنت الفردوس کا دائمی فیصلہ فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. اکیڈمی کو دن دگنی رات چگنی ترقیات سے مالا مال فرما, اسے ہر قسم کے فتنوں سے محفوظ فرما الہ العالمین, بدناظرین کی نظر سے, شریروں کے شر سے, حاسدین کی حسد سے محفوظ فرما الہ العالمین, منتظمین کو, اساتذہ کو الہ العالمین خلوص میں اور الہ العالمین علم میں اور عمل میں الہ العالمین للہیت میں اور برکت پیدا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. ان کی صلاحیتوں میں صالحیتوں میں برکت پیدا فرما, اس ادارے کو الہ العالمین دین متین کی حفاظت کا مرکز بنا, پورے عالم میں الہ العالمین دین کی اشاعت کا مرکز بنا اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. حاضرین میں سے شرکا میں سے سبھی کو قبول فرما الہ العالمین. جو کچھ مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما الہ العالمین. جو جس حاجت کو لے کر کے آیا ہے تیری بارگاہ میں وہ حاجت الہ العالمین وہ تیری بارگاہ میں الہ العالمین مقبول حاجت ہے, تیری پسندیدگی کے مطابق ہے اور ہمارے لیے الہ العالمین اس میں دنیا اور آخرت کا نفع بھی ہے, تو الہ العالمین وہ حاجتیں پوری فرما دے اے ارحم الراحمین. ہم میں جو بیمار ہیں انہیں شفاء کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ دائمہ نصیب فرما الہ العالمین, بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما, ظاہری باطنی جسمانی روحانی تمام بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. لوگوں کی عمروں میں برکت عطا فرما, علاجوں میں برکت عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما الہ العالمین, انہیں صبر و ہمت عطا فرما الہ العالمین, تیرے اوپر توکل کرنے والا بنا دے الہ العالمین الہ العالمین. مصیبت زدہ کو عافیت عطا فرما, پریشان حالوں کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, اولادوں کو اولاد صالح عطا فرما الہ العالمین, نافرمان اولاد والوں کی اولاد کو آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک پہنچانے والی اولاد بنا اے ارحم الراحمین. جن رشتوں میں ناچا کیا ہے ناچا کیا ختم فرما, جن رشتوں میں رکاوٹیں ہیں ختم فرما, جو بے رشتہ ہے انہیں نیک رشتہ عطا فرما الہ العالمین, جو موت کے قریب ہیں انہیں الہ العالمین ولایت والا مقام صدیقیت والا حسن خاتمہ عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. جو مرحومین ہیں ان کی مغفرت فرما الہ العالمین, مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما الہ العالمین. جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, اساتذہ, مشائخ, دوست احباب, حاضرین مجلس, شرکائی مجلس, سبھی کے تمام جائز دل مقاصد کو پورا فرما الہ العالمین. مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما, ممالک اسلامیہ کی, بالخصوص حرمین شریفین کی, مسجد اقصیٰ کی, مقامات مقدسہ کی, مساجد کی, مدارس کی خوب حفاظت فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. پوری دنیا میں دین کی جتنی خدمتیں جس جس لائن سے ہو رہی ہیں سب کو قبول فرما الہ العالمین, سب کو شیر و شکر بنا دے, ایک اور نیک بنا دے, سب کو صراط مستقیم پر چلنے والا بنا دے, سب کو ایک دوسرے کا معاون بنا دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے اساتذہ, ہمارے مشائخ میں سے جو جو زندہ ہیں ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما, انہیں عافیت کلی دائمی عطا فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں محتاجی سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین انہیں نیک اعمال کی مزید توفیق عطا فرما. ہمیں ان کی دعاؤں کا, ان کی توجہات کا مورد بنا, ان کی خدمت کرنے والا بنا. اے ارحم الراحمین انہیں وقت آخر حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرما. جو آپ کی بارگاہ میں ان میں سے جو بھی آ چکے ہیں, الہ العالمین ان کے درجوں کو بلند فرما, ان کی مغفرت فرما, ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما. الہ العالمین محض اپنے لطف و کرم سے اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے توفیر ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم, وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خیر الراحمین. اللهم انا نسألک فی سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى. سبحان ربک رب العزة عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین, وآخر دعوانا ان الحمد للہ رب العالمین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. آمین.